Okay, our scripture text is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now Matthew's gospel is arranged thematically or topically. In the first four chapters, we find a synopsis of the events beginning with the circumstances surrounding the virgin birth of Jesus up to and including his very early earthly ministry. Chapters 5 through 7, we have his doctrine and his teaching, and we've looked at a number of those over the past several weeks. Chapter 7 and verse 21, we read this, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So here he claims to be the Son of God and the one through whom one may enter the kingdom of heaven. Chapter 7 and verse 29, we read that he taught them as one having authority. And here Matthew picks up on that idea in chapters 8 through 12. He records the miracles and the healings that Jesus the Christ did in order that he might prove that he has the authority to teach after this manner, to say these things, and that he has the power over nature and all of its forms. He performs various miracles and healings for the purpose of proving his divine identity. Each miracle and each healing that he effects is instructive for you and I today. He didn't sort of do things for no reason at all. You know, we never find the Lord simply putting up a display of fireworks in the sky or throwing down Mount Everest into the Indian Ocean or anything after this manner. But he does things to display his compassion and display his power. And by the way, he works in our lives in the same way today. He does mighty works, beginning with the work of salvation to display his power and to display his compassion upon sinners. He knows our plight, and he's come that sinners, that those who are afar, that those who are estranged might find salvation and peace and rest and grace in our time of need. So as we look at our text this morning, we're going to look at three things, roughly 3 points corresponding to a particular verse. First, we will look at the leper's approach in verse 2. Secondly, we will see the Lord's response in chapter 8 and verse 3. And third, the results of this encounter, the encounter of the leper with his Lord. First, the leper's approach. Now, this leper had been confined to the outskirts of the city, crying, unclean, unclean. And he would see people pass by into the city, people leaving, but he would hardly approach any man. For it was written in the law that he was to remain separate, outside the camp, outside of the regular communion of the people of Israel, outside of the community, because of his disease. Therefore, he would hardly dare to approach any man, but he would dare to approach the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? People came and went, day after day, week after week, month after month. But when this man saw the Son of God, he says, "You know what? I haven't had any hope. But behold, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, has come, and he's come to my city, and I am not going to miss the opportunity to miss Jesus Christ, to meet Jesus Christ today." His approach was one of worship. Luke tells us that he fell on his face. And behold, the leper came and worshiped him, we read in our text. So this was no half-hearted worship. He approached the Son of God, the Son of Man, after the manner of Isaiah. "Woe is me, for I am undone, for my eyes have seen the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the King of glory." What then is your approach like towards the Holy God? Is it a reverent approach when you meet the Lord in prayer? Or when you say grace before every meal? Is it reverent, or is it kind of like something you have to do? Like, "Thank you, Lord, for this food. Now let's get down to business." Is your approach like that, or is your approach after the manner of this leper who understood his disease, his need, and God's provision quite clearly? This man understood that he was thoroughly defiled by disease. Leprosy was understood to be a disease wrought by the curse of God. And we have examples in the scripture of this. We have Miriam, when she would be so presumptuous as to try to place herself in Moses' seat when God hadn't placed her there. She struck with leprosy. And of course, we know the story. God hears the prayer of Moses, his servant, Miriam's brother, and she's restored after a time. Gehazi, remember the leper whom God had cured through the agency of Elisha, and Elisha would take no money. But yet Gehazi, Elisha's servant, goes and runs back and says, "Yeah, you know what? My master will take a few bucks for the service," hoping to pocket the money. That sin was seen by God and revealed to the prophet, and that leprosy would stick to Gehazi all of the days of his life. Uzziah, the king, not of the tribe of Levi, but being so presumptuous, so prideful, as to go into the temple and light the burning incense, a job that, according to the law of the Lord, only the priests, only the Levites could do, also struck with leprosy. Now, we don't know why this man had been struck with such a disease, but we do know that he was fully defiled by his skin disease to the point where he couldn't come into contact with God's people. You and I, likewise, have been fully defiled, not by skin disease, but by a sin disease, by the disease of sin, the thing that separates. It's sin that caused a wall to go up between God and us. This is why Jesus Christ had to come, to break down that wall, to break down that barrier. He himself became sin, that we might become the very righteousness unto God in him. The great physician alone has the cure. In fact, he provided himself the cure, taking upon himself our infirmities, our disease, taking your sin and mine, that life, eternal life, reconciliation with the Creator might be made possible. Notice also that the leper placed himself at the mercy of Jesus. He fell at his feet. He worshiped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." He had no right to demand a cure, and he understood that. He didn't say, "Look, I put my faith in you, now you must cure me." Oh no, he had no right to demand a cure. But nevertheless, he placed himself at the mercy of Jesus the Christ, for his mercies are great. Now, if anyone had a right to be bitter, it was this man. And Job even more so. Do you complain about small things? God forbid we lose our electricity, and we lose a couple of dozen eggs and, you know, some leftover dynamite. But this man, ostracized completely from family and friends, seemingly without hope, seemingly doomed, consigned to a future of loneliness. But nevertheless, Jesus the Christ came along and lifted his loneliness, that he might find comfort and peace and a friend in time of need. A friend who loves at all times, a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This is the kind of friend we have in Jesus. He realized that God didn't owe him anything, but that God might answer his petition. There was no doubt in his mind as to Jesus' power, for he himself said, you read it in the text, "You can make me clean." The only question was this God's plan for this leper's life? Second, we will see the Lord's response. Jesus put out his hand and touched him. Nobody else would have done such a thing. Nobody else could have, under the law, and not become defiled themselves. But Jesus put out his hand and touched him. Jesus reaches out to those who are untouchable, to those whom nobody else will reach out to many times. I'm sure I speak to many, if not all, in this congregation. There was a day when Jesus reached out to you, when you were at that place where you felt like you were untouchable. Nobody cared. Nobody wanted you. Nobody was interested in restoring your life. But Jesus was interested. He was interested, and he did what needed to be done even though maybe he didn't realize it at the time. He reached out his hand and he touched you in your time of need. You are not out of his reach. Even now, friend, you cannot go to the place where he cannot find you. David affirms this in the 139th Psalm, also alluding to it in the 119th. No matter where he goes, whether he digs a tunnel and hides under the earth, or goes and hides beneath the ocean, goes to the ends of the earth, wherever it is he goes, there is not a place where Jesus cannot be found. Like Jonah, you may get on that boat and go as far away in the opposite direction of where you're supposed to go. Jesus will find you there, throw you off the boat, and send you back to land, and get you back to port, and on your way to Nineveh, where you belong. The God of second and third and fourth and umpteen chances. You are not out of his reach even now. Many times, prayer becomes a last resort for the Christian, and not first, right? When all else fails, pray. This is what we do. It's not what we ought to do. If we'd prayed at the first, we might have felt the warmth of his embrace through the entire trial. But nevertheless, what's done is done. Let's go forward and pray today and experience his warmth and his peace today, and be able to move forward from this place in his direction, in his will, in his plan. I am willing, be cleansed. Jesus answers the prayer of the leper in the affirmative. Now, physical healing is never guaranteed. If physical healing was guaranteed for the Christian, Christians would never die. But nevertheless, it is the lot in the end of every man to go to the grave. But when the sinner comes to Christ in faith, seeking spiritual cleansing, and here's the lesson here. Here's the spiritual lesson here. When we come seeking spiritual cleansing, Jesus is always willing. He saith, I am willing. Be cleansed. He says, I died on that tree. I died on that cross. My blood was shed. And that sacrifice, that blood is sufficient to cleanse even you, sinner. He says, I've seen it all. I've seen all manner of sin. Don't think that your sin is beyond my power to cleanse it. For nothing is impossible with God. I am willing. Be cleansed, saith the Savior. Third, we look at the results of this encounter. Notice at the end of verse 3, the end of Matthew 8, verse 3, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The cleansing is immediate. Not only is cleansing certain with regard to the one who seeks salvation in faith through the blood of Jesus, but it's immediate. The cleansing blood of Christ acts immediately. There is no need to wait for a further miracle or a further baptism, although water baptism is an ordinance of the church. but a further manifestation of the Spirit in order to be saved. These things come later, but salvation is immediate. It's one time, and it cannot be lost, because it depends upon what Jesus did, not upon what you and I did or haven't done, because surely we could never earn our salvation on our own. Otherwise, Christ would never have had to come. Jesus sends the man to the temple. Verse 4 is a very confusing verse at the first reading of it. Now, we've already said that leprosy was often seen as a curse from God. But by the same token, it was always understood, and we find it in the Old Testament record, that the only one who could cure leprosy was God Himself. It was God who would create the leprosy and cause it to disappear in the days of Moses. In the time of Miriam, it was through the prayer of the man of God, Moses, that God would remove the leprosy from Miriam. Likewise, when Elijah in his ministry would cure leprosy, it was through the agency of God Himself. So now Jesus sends this guy to the temple, and he goes up to the priests. Now, we don't have anyone on record in the Holy Writ who had been cured of this disease in the last 1,000 years or so. And now here comes this guy going up to the priests that the law might be fulfilled. Leviticus 13 and 14 gives us extensive instructions as to what to do. It gives the priest in particular extensive instructions as to how to determine whether somebody has leprosy in the first place and how to determine when they don't. So at some point in time, this man had gone before the priests. They had determined that he had leprosy. The edict went out, and he was cast from the community of believers outside the camp into the outskirts of the city, and here he was in the leper colony where we find him when he meets the Lord. But now Jesus is going to send this man made whole to the priests. He says, "See that you tell no one, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest." In other words, here's what I want you to do. Before you go around and tell everybody that you've been cured, because you and I both know, you know, Jesus says to the leper, you and I both know that this cure has already taken place. But let's, so that all things might be fulfilled, let us do it according to the law, Leviticus 13 and 14, that it might be attested to by the mouths of two or three witnesses. So go to the priest and let them declare the leprosy cleansed in accordance with the law. Now this would have had some pretty amazing effects, right? What would this be telling the leaders of Israel? When this leper goes and they find out that he's cleansed, wow, amazing. So immediately the priests and Levites would say, wait a minute, only God can cleanse leprosy. This man who cleansed the leprosy must be God. So what Jesus is doing is he's making his announcement before the to the leadership of the nation of Israel, and he's saying, guys, Emmanuel's here, God is with us. And he's come with great power. And here is the sign. This was Jesus' way of announcing his arrival, that those who would have eyes to hear, eyes to see, and ears to hear, or ears to see, if you're one of these strange people, that they would see it. This man, now an ex-leper, would be a testimony to them. The results of this man's encounter with Jesus changed his life. He was diseased. Now he's made whole. You and I were a mess. We'd mess things up in our lives. But now Jesus has picked us up out of the mud and set us straight on the narrow path that we might walk in it. The change was unmistakable. Nobody could say that this man had not been made whole. Nobody could say that something wasn't different. Now, if you've met Christ on this road of life, and I pray that you have, and if you haven't, it's not too late. Perhaps this is the day that he has put out his hand and touched you. If you have met Christ on the road of life, has an unmistakable change taken place in your life? It ought to have. Now that change has taken place, are you a testimony? Now, Jesus sent this leper to the priest as a testimony to them. Likewise, he has sent you as a testimony to them. Well, who's them? Well, it's not the Old Testament priest in the temple, but it's the people in your life. The people that he's put in your path already, and the people that he's going to put in your path today. He sent you forth as a testimony to them. One day you said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And he said, "I am willing, be cleansed with my blood." And now he has sent you forth as a testimony to them. Therefore, Heavenly Father, may you strengthen each and every one of us here, that our testimony might be one that brings honor and glory to the one to whom all glory and honor and power is and is due, Jesus Christ. Amen.